Hey guys, before we get into the episode, I just want to quickly mention, if you are a personal trainer working in the industry, Kevin Carr and Brendan Rurick are heading up a personal training mentorship right now at Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning. It is really awesome. Tons of hands-on experience you can get there. You can get more information at bodybyboyle.com. Go into the About tab, Mentorships, and Personal Training Mentorships. Welcome to this edition of the FitCast. This is episode number 235. This is going to be part one of a multiple part series that we do on, I guess we would call it, vegetarian or vegan discussion. And with me is Lee Peel, leepeel.com. Lee, what's up?
What is up, Kevin?
We're going to be talking about a couple different facets of this methodology, this lifestyle, the multiple subsets of it as well. And hopefully we'll do a good job for you guys to answer all the questions that you have. I should say for Lee to answer all the questions that she has, kind of why we're doing it. We have had a lot of questions in the past about everything from soy protein to, getting in enough protein while on a vegetarian or a vegan diet. We could even go into, the whole organic versus, those terrible pesticides. We'll talk about it all. And Lee, I think the first thing we should get into is kind of, I don't know. What do you think? Should we talk about our personal stuff first, or should we talk about the types?
Maybe we'll talk about terms first and lay it out there for people. There's a lot of terms.
Yeah. Why don't you talk about, the different types and different levels?
Okay. There's multi levels of a vegetarian or vegan diet, and the extremism of what people take it to and even the different levels, they do vary. Because this is a socialized thing, it's not as if that is a technical doctrine, it's not math. For example, there is no 2 + 2 + 4 in this. So who you get your information from and who agrees on what exactly is what is kind of shady and shaky on certain terms. I know that when I was a kid, the things that defined vegetarian and veganism, I mean, when I say vegetarian, to me, it's just you don't eat meat. But there's a lot of classifications of that. When you say vegan, it's just you don't eat any animal products, you don't wear lead or whatever. I'm going to try and break it down based upon 4 common categories of vegetarianism and veganism, but there are more. And just because these are kind of the generalized terms for an explanations for these things does not mean they are exactly what they are. So there's the lacto vegetarian, sometimes referred as the lactarian. And essentially, this is a vegetarian that includes dairy products into their diet, but they will not eat eggs. And they sometimes will obtain, they won't eat cheeses that are made from animal rennet or yogurts that contain gelatins, because most rennet or gelatins have animal byproducts in them. Anything from jello gelatin snacks to even juices can have glycerin in them. There's all types of foods and byproducts in food, from candies to all those types of things that can have animal or milk or bone, all kinds of things in them from animals. And a lot of people don't realize that. So some lacto vegetarians will abstain from certain types of products like that, but they'll still drink milk or they'll have cream, yogurt, cheese, stuff like that. Ovo vegetarians are the reverse. They won't have any dairy products, but they'll have eggs. And it really is just about as simple as that. They'll eat eggs. They won't drink milk or dairy or have any dairy products. A pesco vegetarian is one that will have seafood. They basically just won't have any meat. They won't have any, which I don't really understand how that works, in my personal opinion. It's all meat, but they won't basically have any red meat or chicken or goat or deer or anything like that. They'll just eat seafood. And that's the only kind of animal life that they will eat. And then there's vegans that will have no animal products, byproducts. They will not wear usually any sort of animal byproducts. And essentially, they're the most rigid, if you will, of what their intake will be. So those are kind of, you know, your various definitions for that. And some just say vegetarian. When you say vegetarian, it means you do not eat any animal products that is like meat or fish or anything like that. But you will partake in dairy or egg products because technically nothing had to die for it, or it was not alive or breathing. Therefore, you will eat it. So there's a lot of various levels of what that is. You also have social I can't remember what it's called, but basically it's people that they will not buy meat and they will not partake in cooking it or buying it or anything like that. But in like social settings or for social pressures or whatever, they will partake in eating meat or fish or something along those lines. They'll choose a type of meat that they will eat in social settings. So it really does vary of what people will do. It's almost like trying to define sexuality on a level. There just really is not one subset of like definition. But that's kind of a broad spectrum of things.
Yeah. excuse me. I think, you know, this is why it's become a really interesting discussion for me. And maybe this is kind of where we talk about kind of where our heads are at, with this. And, a year ago, I would, you know, ate meat once or twice a day, and now I rarely do eat it. And I was talking with Lee a little bit before the podcast, and actually before we get into you know, kind of my stuff, Lee, why don't you hit on kind of what your nutrition has been like and why you made those modifications?
Okay. My reasonings for being a vegetarian are very personal. And I generally, and this is a very true statement, even with my friends, I don't even generally talk about this very much because I find nutritional habits and especially the choice to be vegetarian or not vegetarian to be a very kind of moral and personal thing. For a lot of people, it's very much like politics and religion. A lot of people take it very personally, or they think there's judgment. And try being a vegetarian or a vegan at a dinner table. It's good times. It really is. So I generally don't discuss it, but because this is for an interview conversational purpose, I will explain my reasonings of why I am a vegetarian. I will preface this by saying that, and we will discuss it later, that I do not do it for any sort of health reasons, except for the fact that I don't eat dairy. And it's not that I don't want to eat dairy. I think there's plenty of ethical ways to eat dairy. And I love me some cheese and any kind of milk product, basically. But I am allergic to whey. And my allergy grew much stronger and stronger and stronger with massive consumption of it, to the point of where literally an intake of it would result in 5 minutes later of my face breaking out and my ears turning bright red and itching and sweating and not being able to, almost not anaphylactic, but close. I would start to cough and hack a little bit. So it started to get very severe. It was confirmed by a doctor that it was a severe allergy along with some other things, some mild sensitivities to nuts and various other stuff. But essentially, that is a problem for me. So that's why technically, I guess I am an ovo. I eat eggs, but I would eat dairy if it wasn't for a health concern. The reason I don't eat meat, it is a moral issue only for me. It's an ethical issue for me. And when I was a kid, I was a vegetarian for a couple years, from like age 15 to 17 or something like that. But I didn't really do it the right way. I basically just ate a bunch of pizza I just basically ate like how kids eat. And I just didn't want to eat animals, but it ended up making me kind of sick because I didn't get a balance of nutrition. I didn't take vitamins. I didn't do any of the things that you're really supposed to do when you're trying to be a vegetarian. And I was a kid, and And so I ended up going back to eating meat because I kind of got sick from not eating meat. Later on in life, I just got really tired of trying to rationalize eating it. And for me personally, I'm very into animal rights. I'm very into animal ethical issues. And I love my dog. I love animals in nature. I love animals in general. And I see a great capacity for compassion and love inside of them. And the biggest thing for me, and what I always kind of tell people, is that at the end of the day, I don't believe that it's 100% necessary to cause fear and to have to see the existence of fear in any living, breathing thing. And I've seen fear in everything from a frog to a dog to animals being slaughtered. I think that if you can escape that as much as possible, and if you don't have to have that in life as much as possible, then it's just kind of a nice thing. So, and a lot of people criticize, saying that it's a cycle of life. It's what happened. Animals die. There, you know, animals hunt in life and things of that nature. But, and I understand that. And don't get me wrong. If I was in a situation where I had to kill or be killed, there wouldn't be hesitation, be it a human or an animal. So I'm not some sort of pansy, if you will. But I feel that there's a higher consciousness of it for me. And I just can't look into the eyes of another living, breathing creature and say, I am that much better than you, that I will sacrifice your life over mine for an unnecessary event. And I just can't choose to do so based upon literally the emotions and fear that live with animals. And a lot of people get religious about this and say animals don't have souls, or they do have souls, and that it's not Christian, or it's not this or that and the other. And I don't really get into those debates or care about those kind of debates, but that's what it feels to me. So it's very emotional for me. It's very personal for me, and it's just something that I don't believe in. And that doesn't mean that I'm overly zealot about it. I'm not freakish. And I don't let it impede my life. I think there's a point and a level in which that you can only compromise so much. It's all around us, animals being used in every kind of product that you can possibly imagine. And I don't get overly, I try to make the best choices that I can. And I try to be as humane as possible and make the best selections that I can. But I know I get some gelatin here or there. And I know that every once in a while, a little bit gets in me from various sources. And I mean, I chose a car that doesn't have leather, you know, upholstery, but the steering wheel is, and there's just that point in which you have to go, okay, look, we can't be so overly obsessed with this stuff. Life will adjust how it's going to adjust, and the world is not going to become vegetarians, and that's not going to happen. You make your choice for you, and that's just what it is. So I make the choice for me. That's why I make the choice for me. There are some benefits to my personal health to also being vegetarian because of how my body reacts to things. But that's very anecdotal and personal. And I try not to use that very much because I think that it's the wrong tactic to go. So that's the short of it. There's a lot more there that I can get into, but that's the short of the reason of why I abstain from eating meat.
Very well put. And like, I think we already mentioned it already, but, this series is by no means a platform for us to try to convince anyone of anything.
Yeah,
it's just to give information, because we've gotten tons and tons and tons of questions spread throughout the last 4 years about this, and we just want to kind of hit it on one topic. And this allows me to a little selfishly pick Lee's brain about this stuff too. So I'll just briefly kind of give my side. And one of the things that, again, I mentioned at the top is, like, a year ago, I was going out with the guys, going out and getting steak tips and turkey tips. And even till recently, like, it was Easter a couple weeks ago, and we all had filet mignon for dinner, and I still ate it. But it was kind of a part of a couple different things that got me to this point where I've just found myself preparing less meat and eating less meat and going more towards a vegetarian type diet. And I, you know, talking with Lee before the show, I just bought eggs for the first time in, I think, like 3 months, something like that, just because I kind of got sick of eating eggs for a little bit. And part of the reason why I've kind of leaned towards this is the same reasons that Lee has brought up, kind of how that you would feel about eating, you know, meat, or how I personally feel about, really how the livestock is treated, you know, how humanity is kind of, not as a whole, it's definitely a subset, but as we try to increase profits and increase the availability of certain products, some corners need to be cut, and some changes have to be made to the process to potentially make it a little bit less humane. And, you know, again, I'll say it, you know, straight up, like, I'm one of those people that, you know, if they see, if someone like posts a picture about like animal cruelty on Facebook, or I see a news story about, like, man, my heart just brought, like, I had a scroll right past it, but I saw like a news story about a dog that was hit by a car, and then there was a picture of another dog standing by that dog, like, guarding it from any cars getting near it, like, man, that just kills me. But the you know, I guess I kind of just got to the point where, you know, I saw all this stuff, whether it be in documentaries about how our livestock is treated, and some examples of what has been shown lately. You know, farmers trying to, not all farmers, but there was a story about farmers, and this was pretty widespread, about farmers devising a way to kill chickens as efficiently as possible with like this foam, like to suffocate them. And I do see, like, there are some merits with that, with if there was any kind of outbreak of disease in livestock where you need to eradicate that. And obviously we've had scares in the past with mad cow, not so much in the United States, but in China and overseas. And I don't know, I guess that was kind of my main point. And it's not something that I'm so steadfast where, if, you know, again, I'm still trying to figure this out, where I think if I'm okay, I'm cool with eating eggs, as long as I get cage free eggs, I know it's from a humane place. You know, that makes me feel a little bit better. And unfortunately, like Lee, like, to be honest, some of the stuff that I'm starting to, you know, say makes me feel kind of selfish. Like, I'm trying to mold it into the way that I want to feel, like, but I want to present it to myself. But
I think, you know, and I think what it is I think that we have a hard time with rationalizing certain aspects of it. And what I could, for personally, for myself, like, I couldn't rationalize the love that I have for my dog and the love that I have for animals in the wild. I mean, like, seriously, like, I am one of those people who, I saw a turtle on the side of the road and I stopped and I had to, like, carry the turtle to make sure that it, like, goes into the woods and doesn't, like, cross the road and get hit by a car. Like, that's me, like, every day. Like, it really is, like, I severely love animals. And I love the underdog in a sense too. I mean, when I was a kid, if you picked on, like, I had a friend who was, like, partially deaf, and I don't know how many fist fights I got into just because people like to pick on my, like, partially deaf friend who, like, couldn't understand things. And, like, I think you have this kind of innate, sometimes, protector thing in you. And for me, I just can't sleep at night kind of consciousness. But that being said, I was talking to a friend who is very much on the fence about it. And what I said to them is, I was like, to me, like, it's not so much even just about eating animals and whatnot. But when you look into the free range system or the free roaming system and how they're treated in captivity, it's very much like what we see with military and militant soldiers pissing on someone who's dead that they shot. And the disrespect that's taken to another life, whether you care or not, that's a whole nother debate. But the disrespect that's taken to another life, a breathing animal's life, of being pounded, you know, on top of each other in cages, and horrible things happening to them in the killing process, or being used in experiments in just completely unnecessary ways. And just the completely lack this respect of it, rather than it being, yes, they're in fields, they graze, and one day they're going to be marched off. And I don't agree with that aspect, and I'm not going to rationalize it. But at least there is a humaneness to their imprisonment at least they were the prisoner given water and a cigarette. Do you know what I mean? At least they enjoyed their life on some level before ended by our hands and our superiority. Mm. So in that aspect, I can understand the argument. While I personally don't agree with it and it can't sit right with me 100%, I understand the argument. And I think that it's a much better way of doing things where you can, whereas this system of just completely neglecting any sort of care or concern for the animals in your captivity and what that must do to also our nutrient value and not, you know, the intake of what we're having in our lives and how it affects us physically, I can't get behind. So I think that if you're going to go with the route of eating meat, in my personal opinion, I'd really like to see people, if they are going to eat meat, choose free-range eggs, choose dairy products that are free-roaming, grass-fed, things like that. It is illogical, and we will get into this on an environmental standpoint, to have that be how it works overall as a society, because there's just not enough room for the kind of intake of meat that we have and what it would do to the environment to have it be ethical and humane. It's probably not likely or realistic. And that's where the catch 22 is. And that's where it gets into a larger debate, but at least you can make a conscious choice for yourself and the market will hopefully decide on some sort of level. But I guess that's my kind of take on if you do choose to eat it, you know?
Yeah. And I think, you know, Two quick points I just want to make, and then we'll move on. You know, I think part of this whole discussion is, you know, how you feel about it one way or the other. I think part of it is priorities. This is more of a, at least I think it's probably more of like a first world issue, where, you know, some people are just trying to, you know, survive at all. And the other thing is, I hit on it a little bit before, but you know, there is that saying, you know, you can really tell a lot by a person about how, you know, he treats a, you know, a powerless, you know, animal or human being. And that's why it's, you know, it is so sickening to, you know, see whether it's dogfighting or how, you know, people are treating livestock and stuff like that, and treating it more of just a number or a, you know, like, again, like Lisa, whether you want to say it's like a soulless, just a thing instead of, you know, a being, and you never know, like Lee and I have talked about in the past, you know, about that show, but there might be aliens, ancient aliens, and they could be watching us, seeing how we treat, you know, the underlings. And
I'm gonna let that be your opinion.
I think Keanu Reeves in that movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still, mentioned that. So there could be some truth in that, just to lighten things up a little bit. But let's keep it going. And
I do want to preface with saying that none of my personal or moral opinions about things is a judgment or will cloud the research or the pros and cons to it that we will discuss. And that is, I think, very important, because my God, do people in both sides of the camp.
Yeah, there's crazy people. Crazy
on
people
both sides of the camp. It really is. So I will not take, I will not do that. I will not harbor any sort of bias in that.
All right. The next subject we'll kind of hit on, and this is one thing I'm going to throw over to Lee, and this is one of the questions that we got from a lot of people. Are there any health reasons to go
vegetarian
or to go vegan? Are there any really, you know, concrete health reasons that say you should cut meat out altogether and dairy products and stuff?
This, let's get out of the way that there can be obvious reasons for the exclusion of any product in your life, particularly the proteins, because in general, when there is allergies or sensitivities that are very aggressive or severe, they're in the protein of the product. And there are people that have allergies to all sorts of proteins. In meat consumption or in animal product consumptions, it's usually dairy, eggs, and beef that are kind of your prime targets. They're the ones that seem to provide the most aggravation for people if they have aggravation. It's very low on the end of the spectrum that pork, chicken, or fish. Shellfish can, but just like a regular like seawater or freshwater fish can cause any sort of allergic reactions. It happens, but it's more on the rare level of things. So there's obviously an allergy benefit. If you have an allergy to something, don't eat it. And that's certainly going to make you feel a lot healthier in that kind of an aspect. As far as any of the claims, for example, the kind of claims that are in books like China Study or the Skinny Bitch and Skinny Bastard type of books, the kind of claims made in those kind of research studies and things like that about the very negative, unhealthy benefits of eating meat or meat products, really, they're unfounded. They're not good studies. Most of them are based upon, correlative, not causation, type events, and general population research. And when you look at the general population, obviously, yes, they're meat eaters. And you have to start to go very logical. Someone who is vegetarian or vegan is obviously thinking very, very seriously about what is going into their body. They're thinking very seriously about their nutritional protocol, if you will. It's not casual for them. It's not, hey, I'm going out with the boys. I'm going to get me some chicken wings and some pizza. It's very, oh, what am I eating? What's going into my body? It's very, very deep in analysis. So anyone that's going to have a deep analytical thought, meat eater or not, about their diet is more than likely going to have a more healthier lifestyle. They're going to have healthier stats and measures of their health and generally are going to be a more healthy individual. And I think that that's, in my personal opinion, a no-brainer. But when you look at research and how things are kind of laid out, be it heart attacks or cholesterol, or diabetes, even obesity-related issues, metabolic disorder-related issues, all of these kinds of things tend to want to lump meat eaters into that as it being the problem, that meat is the problem, or dairy eaters being that dairy is the problem. And while, like I said, there are individual issues and there are certain subcategories of things that can be affected by all walks of life through all types of eating, be it grains to meat, the general consensus is that if you're paying heightened attention to your diet and you're caring about intake, and it is not in an excessive amount of any sort of macronutrient or type of substance, that you are going to be relatively healthier because of just doing that. So the constant argument of vegetarians and vegan are more healthier than meat eaters is a pretty null argument. Technically, in research, is that what we see come up time and time again? Yes, but there's the X factor. And I think the X factor is very clear that it's conscious diet decisions more so than anything else. And when you look, if you look at a lean meat or a not even lean meat, because certainly saturated fat is perfectly fine as well. But if you look at a multi-macro variety of healthy whole foods versus a vegetarian or vegan diet only, I think that personally, I would be surprised without the aid of supplementation for a vegan diet that the vegetarians and the meat eaters would not severely beat the vegans in the sense of health. And that's more than likely because of the sometimes negative, which we'll get into, health problems that can happen for a vegan because of such deficiency. However, with vegetarians, if you're getting some sort of animal-based product, be it by eggs or dairy or something along those lines, plus a variety, I really don't see much of a difference from an amino acid profile standpoint. And we'll talk about that. I think that they would fare just as well towards the meat eaters as the meat eaters would against them. So health reasons to go, I can't think of many. You can look into toxicity levels and the kind of questions raised about what's happening in our livestock. There have been some interesting things that have come out recently, some really new stuff since it's been so hyper-focused, but particularly about the things that exist and live in meat. Or that are fed into the meat and the difference between grass-fed and free-roaming versus caged and mass-produced and hormone-fed. And while I think that there's a lot of hype to the type of claims that are made, particularly with the hormone-based things, because it passing our digestive system is incredibly difficult, there is seeming to be nutrient value issues on a certain level. There and some have concerned about underlying issues that we don't have any sort of idea about yet. And it should be very clear, we don't know. We don't have any idea about it. We haven't tested it. We haven't seen anything. And the things that we have tested and seen on a certain level have come out fine. So to make all these claims about there's this in the meat and it's going to hurt you and this meat is bad for you, we don't know. I know that my bet is that it would be minimal to none as far as an issue, but we don't know yet. I think that the jury's still out on that, because the amount of years that we've been doing these particular things to animals and ingesting them has been a short period of time versus what it used to be. So we have to kind of see. There's some interesting research out there, but none of it is definitive yet. As far as vegetarianism or veganism and having any sort of deprivation of that, I guess we can move into that. But I don't think that eating meat, even crappy meat, is by large going to do any severe damage to you in small amounts, in moderate amounts of what it needs to be. And when I say crappy meat, I'm talking about lean meat. I'm not talking about like hot dogs and processed foods and stuff like that. But let's say one person's getting a free range chicken from the Whole Food God's health store, and the other person's getting like crappy, multi-caged, can't breathe, stuck in like no light chicken from the mass producers of like Walmart or something. And that's a complete generalization. I'm just giving an example. How much difference is in that chicken as far as a nutrient standpoint? I would probably think that the free range chicken is going to probably be a little bit higher nutrient content on a minute level. But is that chicken still bad for you? Will it still provide you amino acids? Will it still repair you? More than likely, is there something in it that can harm you on a deeper level? I don't know. We don't know. I'm inclined to say no, because of what basic biochemistry tells me, and from the process of how drugs and how things given to anything can break down in their body and then into ours. But you just can't be completely sure. My large hunch is no. So I don't know if that covers everything that you wanted me to cover, but if there's a specific that you want me to touch on, you're more than welcome to ask.
You didn't explain why Jason Statham turned down Fast 6 and 7.
Yeah, I know. I'm thinking he was intimidated by that is Diesel.
Dude, no, I think that means Crank 3, 4, and 5 have been greenlit. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We're going to continue on going into some of the obstacles that you can run into when making the switch and some common concerns that people have. So stick around. We'll be back in just a minute. Okay, we're back. Hopefully you guys had some time to digest that.
All of the 30 seconds.
And all, I'll make it like a minute long.
Ooh, okay.
A whole minute. We'll put in some Trick Daddy, Take It to the House. Nice. Great song. Gets you fired up when talking about these subjects. The next thing we're going to hit on is obstacles that people can run into getting inadequate nutrition. Going down a couple things that we got sent in, like how to keep carbohydrates in check and how to get enough complete protein. What about omega-3s if, you know, we're not having any kind of fish products?
Yeah.
So should be able to answer some of these.
Yes, and some recommendations as well.
Do it up.
Yep. So I guess the first thing that my page closed, of course, at the wrong time. Okay. The first thing that people usually have a concern about is keeping carbs in check for a vegetarian or vegan diet. And my first note on that is, as most know, I'm not an extreme low carbist. I'm fine. I support low carb. But I only, I think it's an option to use in your repertoire. If you don't have to do it, that's fine. And I actually think there's benefits to higher carb intakes. I won't get in that until a large level, but my preface or my thought to you is consider why you were going low carb in the first place or worrying about excessively low carbohydrates. Because the simple truth of the matter is that if you're choosing to have a vegetarian or a vegan lifestyle, is you're choosing to get proteins and nutrients more from vegetable and grain sources. So to deny, you know, your nuts and your vegetables and things that have a mixture of fats and carbohydrates and proteins in it as a more balanced nutrient system is kind of shooting yourself in the foot a little bit. And you have to kind of ask the question as to why you're doing it in the first place and what you're trying to do. However, most people don't know what to do with themselves when they decide they don't want to eat meat to get protein. And to not let the carbs get out of control crazy. And that's perfectly logical and understandable. The biggest things, in my personal opinion, I think, to focus on are, one, if you're a vegetarian, you're not a vegan, but you're a vegetarian, and you're partaking in dairy or egg products, there really shouldn't be a problem because it gives you the option of eggs, which is no carbs. It gives you the options of multiple dairy items that have no carbs, from cottage cheese to hard cheeses to milk products.
Tons of options.
I mean, you really have tons of options there. The only problem is if you're someone like me who can't have dairy, it does become a pain. It really does. And I'll get into that from a personal standpoint. But if you have the options of eggs and dairy, really not a problem. You're pretty good to go. It's just a matter of timing your nutrition and making sure that you're getting adequate protein and fat intake as well as your carbohydrates. Mm-hmm. What adequate protein is, and this kind of moves into the next area in question, which is how can you get enough quote unquote complete protein? I don't like that as a label. I used it a long time ago in the past, so I understand using the label, and it does kind of make sense in a generalization term, but technically it's not really an intelligent term to use, complete proteins. And the reason why is because all proteins are complete. It's just some have a better amino acid profile than others or are stronger towards some things than others. So when people say complete proteins, what they're really kind of talking about in a generalization sense is how to get a large variety of amino acids. It's kind of like when fitness people say they want to get toned, when they're kind of referring to adding muscle and losing fat, but they just say toned. So that's kind of how I feel about the term complete proteins. But when you're talking about complete proteins, you're getting a complete amino acid profile. Anything that is based upon an animal product is going to give you a pretty good and adequate or very good and adequate amino acid profile. So again, if you're getting eggs or you're getting whey or you're getting dairy or things like that, your proteins are taken care of. There's really not an issue. As long as you're getting adequate needs for you, you're good to go. How much in this bodybuilding world that we live in, or people that are obsessed with protein intake, ketogenic diets and massive amounts of protein that you could possibly get at all times so that you don't lose muscle and so that you don't store that fat and all that kind of stuff, you need to put that out of your head and take it out of the window, because there's a difference between hype diets that steroid users need to have or be on, diets that people trying to gain lean mass while using steroids need to be on, and what the average athlete or person trying to achieve a good appearance, gain some lean mass, and maybe lose some body fat needs to be on. And when you look at those recommendations, 0.8 times body weight is more than enough. And I mean way more than enough for the average person. You can go way lower than that, but that is basically your very safe target recommendation from the RDA, from the USDA, and from other places, from other research studies and things like that. I am not telling you what to eat, as I am not a registered dietitian. I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not any of those kind of things. I'm just talking about what the research states. And from research standpoints, we can see much lower protein levels with training. And that's the key. When you have training in place, when you have progressive overload, you have training, you have movement, and you have a balance of macros, and you have protein sparing macros like carbohydrates, because they are protein sparing in your body, you really don't have to worry about a lot of muscle wasting, and you get adequate protein intake very well, with a lot more minimal than the kind of numbers we see tossing around, especially right now in the protein hype age, which, you know, I won't get into that too much more, but that's a certain level of it. So getting your complete proteins, being a vegetarian, really shouldn't be a problem. if you're having a problem with getting dairy or eggs or you're a vegan, that's where it does become much more difficult. And you can get it through a variety of grains and beans, nut sources, and vegetables. There are proteins in vegetables. I do think, in my personal opinion, though, if you're a vegan, I think that it is smart from a research standpoint to supplement with some sort of vegetable protein option. And there's a lot of great options out there right now. There's so many vegan sources of amino acids. Sun Royer produces a very good vegan protein powder. It's brown rice. And they also have a new one called Warrior Blend, which is a mixture of hemp, quinoa, I think, brown rice, and something else. I can't remember off the top of my head. But those two taste very good. And vegetable-based protein powders are just grainier, and that you just kind of have to get used to it. The best ones that I found are the Sun Warrior and one called Nitro Fusion. It's a new one that I tried recently. It's artichoke, quinoa, and brown rice protein powder, and it's very good. And the sweetener in it is stevia. It has very minimal process to it, and it's a non-hyperallergenic. There's no soy, which I don't have a problem with soy, but I won't get into that right now. There's a lot of great options for vegan protein powders if you're needing to up your complete proteins or nutritional profile. And even branched-chain amino acids that are available in a vegan style, there's a variety of those as well. And you can supplement with that. And I do think that if you're choosing to be a vegan, it's wise, and it's a personal thought. It's not a recommendation, but it is wise to look into supplementation of certain nutrients, especially with your proteins and amino acids. And you can just knock it out first thing in the morning. You can have yourself a shake and maybe some branched chain amino acids and mix it with, you know, whole nutritious veggies and grains and nuts and things like that to get even a more balanced profile. And it's just an insurance. And that's really what you're trying to do. You're just trying to ensure that your issues that you take, be it physical, be it ethical, or whatever, is for insurance. If you have omega-3, this is kind of going to be an issue if you're vegetarian or if you're vegan. I do not take fish oil personally because it's from a fish. So I don't eat fish and I'm not going to take the oil of a fish. And that was a really big concern for me because DHA is the biggest issue or concern when you're a vegetarian or a vegan and you're not taking in any sort of meat products, particularly any animal fatty acid products, because that's where you're going to get a lot of DHA. And on the short, DHA is very important for cognitive function in the brain, as well as some other things. But mental clarity and veganism and vegetarianism can often be a problem because of the lack of DHA. So it is very important no matter what you do. If you're not going to supplement with anything, in my personal opinion, you need to supplement with this. And the great thing is because the market has demanded it to be so, a lot of company nows are producing a vegetarian DHA, and what it's from and the kind that you should be, in my personal opinion, most interested in getting is an algae-based DHA. Essentially, it's algae, and it's fatty acids derived from that, and the profiles from that are fantastic. They look great in comparative to fish. They do very well in studies. It hasn't been a lot, but it is there. And there are a lot of options now that you can get. I personally take Spectrum Essentials Vegetarian DHA. And the reason I take that one is because you can't taste the thing. It's very easy on the stomach. And the company has standed well against independent consumer lab testing. So that's the reason why I choose them. But it is a vegetarian DHA. And it's from an algae-based source. But there's a lot now. Even just a year ago when I was looking into it, there was only three options. One, you had to order from, like, Sweden. Another was American-based, but they just could never deliver it to you. And then this one. And now there's just multiple. I mean, if I go to just somewhere like Lucky Vitamins, there's two pages worth of vegetarian DHA options. And that's very good. I just happen to know personally about that one. And I've used it and I've researched it via Consumer Labs and other organizations. So I think that covers some of the pitfalls there as far as that is concerned. There's no reason that satiation, again, should be much of an issue. Satiation's best winner, if you will, if you're in a diet, is actually fiber. Fiber beats out protein, hands down, as far as fullness goes. And then protein kind of comes in as your next counterpart there. And different proteins are going to provide different satiation levels for you. And some people find that they have a hard time with satiating themselves with just eggs or just dairy. There's something about the lack of red meat or chicken that is that can be an issue for them. And if that's the case, I think you're just going to really have to try to experiment with what it is that, that makes you feel good. And in a deficit, things are always kind of hard. But do the best you can to get a lot of variety and take a lot of your cues based upon whole foods. And you really can't be afraid of grains. You can't be afraid of grains or sweet potatoes. A lot of people ask about paleo style vegan or vegetarian diets, and they can be done. It's not going to be easy, but you can do it. There's no reason you can't do or eat whatever it is you want to eat. As far as organic versus non-organic, as far as the organic truck, I still, you know, I know what goes on in the industry as far as the pesticides used, even though natural, in organic foods, not really as good as you think they are. The research that's come out for organic versus non-organic, it's mixed. I will say that some of the research points a little bit better these days than it did even a year ago. And it piques my interest more than it used to. It definitely piques my interest from a nutritious standpoint. But as a whole, when you compare the studies that we have that are a little older to a little bit newer, it still's kind of evening out as some study says it does, some study says it does not produce better nutrient intake. And you really have to look at the studies as a whole and how they were done and how the operations were performed, the procedures of collecting the data information was done. And that is where the big kicker is. As an ideal, obviously, I like an organic standpoint from an ideal, only though if it's done right. A lot of people have to realize that organic is a billion-dollar industry, a multi-billion-dollar industry. And they'll put just as much effort behind things as the corn and Coca-Cola companies will. And you can't ever forget that either. And you need to, as a consumer, be very aware of the good guys trying to save you as much as you are from the bad guys that are the evil, like, severe overlord corporations, because they both have their hands in their pockets for different reasons. And they both have their own good intentions. It's not all evil, you know, black hat going on. And you really have to look at the studies, who they're funded from, where they're from, and what it is that they say. And currently, organic might be inching out just a wee bit in certain areas only.
But there's no reason to mortgage your house.
There isn't. You know, it's just like a conscious decision thing. If you have the money and if you want to support the market to do so, that's not necessarily a bad thing, because I think free market dictates where we go and consciousness. And I think that that's not a bad thing to support that. But to be afraid of a conventional vegetable, I think is pretty silly, because what you have to understand is the type of pesticides and the manner of growth that a lot of people use. Unless you're going local market organic and you know the farmer and you know exactly what they're putting on that to keep the crop alive and growing, and you really have to think about that. You think mass produced organics don't use any sort of pesticide whatsoever to keep bugs from eating their foods? Oh yeah, they use a lot of them. They're just natural, and those natural ones can be just as dangerous. Nicotine and copper and all those things in an excessive amount can be just as problematic. So you have to really look at things from a logical standpoint. The best options, if you're really trying to be safe, is sometimes to go local. But then you have to think about your local pollution, the local soil, and so on and so forth. And it gets real fun. And you find
Lee, why are you scaring me? Come on.
I'm just telling you, man, that it's not as simple as that. A lot of people just feel safe. They feel safe going with that. And that's just not necessarily the reality of the situation. So just do the best you can to make conscious decisions and really look at who's growing what it is you're eating if you so desire and want to. because at the end of the day, it's just really not cut and dry as, oh, organic safe and I'm going to be healthy and happy and everything's going to be fine. And non-organic is bad. In truth or reality, neither is probably going to harm you in any way, shape or form. But there certainly is financial gain to go towards one side or the other. So look into that if so desire. I'm looking at the sheet as I'm reading this. So now I think, Kevin, you have some recommendations.
Yeah, and then we'll wrap up this first part.
Okay.
And since we're coming in at about an hour right now. So
awesome.
Actually, I just want to throw a couple of these things out just to get people started if they are interested in how to start slowly make the transition. A lot of this stuff I put up when I threw up my blog post about the smoothies and stuff like that. But Lee, would you agree that it's hard? I found it somewhat hard to find a good tasting non-whey protein.
Oh, yeah. I drink, thank God for MRM egg white protein, right? Because it is the only protein that I really actually just enjoy. Mm-hmm. I just enjoy drinking it. I loved whey protein in a taste sense. I know people were like, oh, protein shakes this, but it's like, oh, that was yummy to me. And then I switched to an egg protein and it was like, oh, no. I'm not really a huge fan there. But then I found the MRM and I was like, oh, thank God, this is a really good one. The plant-based ones, like I said, the Sun Warrior and the Nitro Fusion, pretty good. They're pretty good. They're not amazing. I would still choose my MRM over them. But I can use them, especially in cocoa, homemade cocoa. Seriously, you heat up plant-based proteins in like a warm, it becomes this like almost like cocoa. And then you can also go into like kind of a chai tea area and they taste really, really good like that. And you just make sure not to do it too much so you don't have any sort of problems with breaking down of the proteins. But you just heat it up very slowly, and that tastes really, really good with the plant-based proteins. And pancakes with plant-based proteins, amazing. So there's certain ones that have their strengths. For example, in my opinion, like the egg protein, really good with shakes. Really good with if you just kind of have to do some water or not a lot of sweetness or things like that. They mix very well. They have just that enough grain to them and they're good. The other kind of plant-based proteins, really good for heated foods and concoctions. On certain levels like that, I think that they're really good for that. So anyway, yeah.
And when going back to the plant-based proteins, one that I found that was pretty good, I when I was researching this, I went into Whole Foods and pretty much bought every one of the the products that looked decent. And the only one that I found that tasted, you know, all right was the Lifetime Nutritional Specialties Life's Basics Plant Protein. They have a vanilla and a chocolate flavor. Both are good. And
you tried that one, so I will try that one.
It's really good.
Is it a Whole Foods brand only?
No. The best effing part is that this shit is so cheap on Amazon compared to Whole Foods. Like, it's like $30 a tub on at Whole Foods. It's like $14 on Amazon.
Okay.
So you can search for it. Just search for like Lifetime Protein.
I should throw out real quick, trueprotein.com. Mm-hmm. You can mix and match like every protein blend under the sun. If you want stevia, if you don't want stevia, if you want sugar, if you don't want sugar, if you want some other kind of sweetener.
How are their flavoring systems? Are they better than they used to be?
They're, in my opinion, they're much better than they used to be. And they have a lot of variety. Basically, here's a hint. You want to go with the premium. You want to go with the premium or natural. Those are where the kind of, in my opinion, the generic flavorings are a lot like, I don't know, they kind of remind me of Optimum Nutrition a little bit. Like, it's okay, but it kind of has this weird, like, what is that? What is that? I don't know what that is. Mm-hmm. But if you go with the premium, especially like the Double Dutch chocolate and some of the fruitier based ones, there's a lot of options there to pay for the premium. And because it's still cheap as hell, it's just crazy cheap. And they're a good company. They have very high quality control, and they have vegetarian and vegan options, and they're very careful with letting you know exactly what's in their product. which I think is really good for a company to do. They let you know where they get it, they let you know what's in it, and you can customize it however you want.
So you're referencing their egg white protein powder and their hemp protein powder?
Yeah, and pea, their gamma pea is another good one. And you can mix and match too. You can put pea and the gamma, and you can go on the forums. There's a lot of like kind of lifers there that will give you options of what they like put together. They'll be like, oh, I do this kind of mix, this, that, and the other. I've tried all these different things, and this is the one I love, like some connoisseurs of true protein, if you will. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of options available, and they've kind of done the dirty work of guessing things for you. Is why I ordered my pea protein. I didn't know exactly what to do and how to like put it in. And the first time I did it, it was God awful. I mean, it was some of the worst tasting protein powder I've ever had in my entire life. It was just terrible. And then I kind of looked on the forums and I was kind of asking some questions. I was like, how do you get this to not taste like ass, basically? And someone gave me a recommendation about using the premium double Dutch and then doing this and doing this, that, and the other. And then I ordered it and I was like, okay, that's pretty decent. It's not, in my personal opinion, I like I like just a little bit more the Nitro Fusion and the Sun Warrior. But if I had to go with like a third, it would definitely check in third. And some people might like it even better because people's tastes vary. And I think there's probably even more to explore there. I'm a cop out and I go for the cheap, easy thing.
So the natural premium flavor.
The natural and the premium flavoring options, because you get this pull down list and there's like all these options.
I'm browsing. I haven't been on there in like four or five years.
So insanely cheap. I mean, you can get this huge, like, just clear bag with a scoop, and it's just nothing. Nice. It's nothing. Like, it's the cheapest stuff you could possibly imagine. So, yeah, just another option for people who really want to know and mix and match what's in their protein powder. I don't think currently they still do not have an organic-based product. I don't think that they have a free range or grass fed animal based product yet. I know that they are looking into it, and it'll probably happen within the next couple of months. But you know,
yeah, I haven't found a hemp protein powder that tastes that doesn't taste like absolute dirt.
I don't like the hemp. Yeah. I've never liked the hemp. I know that the Sun Warrior blend has hemp within it. And it kind of adds like a little nutty texture, which is like, okay, but,
It tastes like what you would think hemp would taste like if you've smelled hemp before.
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. That's kind of where I'm at with it too. Yeah. So yeah, I just, it doesn't do it for me. I like, obviously I'm lucky. I'm a vegetarian. I eat eggs. I go with the egg, and to me it's perfectly fine, but I do get variety. And I like to get a variety of amino acids. So I do branch chain amino acids, and I have a variety of like protein powders that I use too. And some people are very against protein powders just in general. They don't want to use it. And I'm not of that camp. I think why defy it if it can be totally helpful? Everything can be touched or processed to a degree. Nothing is safe. And I just eat it up. It helps me get my amino acids and my daily profile. And then I can eat whatever else I want. So I think it's a good advantage to take of if you believe in the company and if you look into the research and if you feel good about it, go for it.
Love it. All right. That's where we're going to end part one of what will probably be like two or three parts. It will take up the next couple episodes. But
the questions.
Yeah. If you guys have any questions, we do have some already for the next part. But if there's anything that you thought that we missed or that you would like us to hit on, please, best way to get a hold of us, two ways. You can either submit them to questions@thefitcast.com, or you can go to Facebook and make sure you have added Lee and I as friends, and then you can tag us in that, in your response. Just say like @KevinLarrabee and @LeePeel, and that way we can see your response, and then I can throw it in the outline for next week. But just talking about some logistics, I just put out an episode today. So we're recording this on Thursday. I'll probably put this one out on like Sunday or Monday.
Yeah.
just to spread them out a little bit. But I will say that you know, there will be no off topic for this episode. You might do something for next time, but Let us know what you think. If there's anything that we missed, like I said, let us know. And until next time, don't forget to check out leadpeel.com. Check us out on iTunes. Please submit a review there if you haven't already. Or if you have, just do another one. I don't think they check up on that. And yeah, this is 4 weeks in a row that we've done a podcast. So,
I mean, slow clap for you, Kevin Larrabee.
Yeah, all this hard effort that I spent having you talk.
I know. I mean, and you kind of paid attention the whole time.
I kind of did. I bought some.
Kind of. I know how you are. Whatever. No, jerk.
I bought some fish oil while we were talking. Yeah. So.
You bought fish oil during the vegetarian vegan episode. That's fantastic. Yeah.
But see, I don't know yet. I don't know if I'm.
No, gonna, I was I being know. Funny. It's just, you know, you got to appreciate it. You got to appreciate the.
But I mean, those fishes are going to be squished either way, right?
Oh, just, there you
I'm
go.
I'm preempting the responses. So.
I don't know. I mean, we're definitely going to. Got to hear it, no matter how much you preface it, you know. And I don't care. People can eat what they want to eat. And eat what you want to eat. I hate food Nazis in all forms. Yeah. I really do. So eat what you want to eat. But that's just why I eat what I eat. That's what it is. And I judge you. I mean, whatever. But I'm just kidding.
Yeah, Lee's gonna block everyone on Facebook that mentions that they.
Oh my god! If I blocked everyone that talked about the massive amount of meats that they consumed at their meal and the pictures of the meats, and
I have more bacon than you did.
I have my platter is filled with the meat that you do not have, and it will be ingested by I. Like I would never have any Facebook friends.
It's a testament
like,
to how manly I am.
Really?
By how much meat I ate tonight.
It really is the ultimate testosterone. Test right there is how much physical animal flesh are you devouring in one
sitting? Some milk today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.